I'm really excited that you guys are here. My name's Sadie. If some of you don't know me, I get the honor and privilege of stewarding this ministry that we call The Well. And the past few weeks of this semester, we've been talking a lot about the fact that we're allowed to ask tough questions of God. So we've asked a lot of questions. Are you good? Do you have a plan for my life? Will you prove that you are who you say you are? And so tonight, we're going to dive into another essential question in the Christian life, and I think that that is community. So we're going to talk about that tonight. We are made for community, and I think a lot of us know that piece. I think a lot of us are like, we know that we should have friends because life is more fun, but I think it's more fundamental than that even. So what I'm hoping we discover together tonight is that there's a greater purpose to all of this community. There's a greater purpose to you sitting in this room together. There's a greater purpose for the fact that I actually want you to talk to each other. So we'll look at where we've come from, and we'll also look ahead to where we're going. So this morning, I was sitting at Vine's Bakery. If you've never been there, you should go. I get paid nothing to promote her. And I was sitting there talking with one of my friends, and I was asking him about why we need community. What we were actually talking about first, before that, is whether or not it's possible to be a really good actor. It was a debate we were having. Like, what makes you a really good actor? Like, doing your job and making people convinced that you're an actor? Like, playing a convincing character? So what we eventually got to, where I was like, okay, why is community important? What am I supposed to talk about? I was trying to wrap up my sermon, and I was trying to think of like very tangible examples of like how this exists in the real world. And then we started talking about Disney movies. And I was like, you know what's true? No one writes a Disney movie by themselves. Just fact. Like, there's a whole team of people who are doing this. And so I'm like, okay, if it's like fundamental that someone like to create in the creating process, if we have to have people to do any part of life, like, you could convince yourself that you're doing life alone by sitting in your room on your computer, that you don't need people, but like chances are you didn't invent the internet or the computer, so you need people. And I also have a friend who quit his job 6 months before he was like wanted to be done, with nothing to do afterward. And we were all kind of like, what are you going to do? And he's like, you know, I trust that my community will take care of me. And I was like, what does that mean? Because, like, I've never met a human who will quit their job and not have, like, another 10-step, 10-year plan. And so there are more examples of this in our lives, of, like, the essential need for community. So I want to start like where it began. And if you've been around Christianity at all, you've probably heard us talk about the Trinity. So the Trinity is God in three persons is what we call it. And it's the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And in that is a community, like made of three different pieces. We won't get into like how they're all the same too. But God existed in himself as perfect community. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That is a perfect triangle. And through some way, because God loves us so much, he decided to open up the Trinity and invite us in, which I think is the craziest thing ever. That like God could have existed on his own, but because he loves, he's so much full of love that it's like, I want to create people to be here with me. I want a creation in my community with me. And this is what happens when two people get married, right? They love each other so much that like another human starts existing because their love is no longer contained in themselves, and it creates another person. So we're invited into this, what theologians call the dance of the Trinity. We get to do life with God. And I don't think that that is a coincidence. And that life with God has everything to do with how you interact in the world at all times. So everything about the Christian community is countercultural. and it doesn't really make sense to the world. So we do a lot of weird stuff. And in Matthew chapter 5, it's called the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is talking to a group of people, and it goes all the way through chapter 7, so he's got a pretty long monologue. And he's, a lot of times we read this Sermon on the Mount, and we think, this is just like what I'm supposed to be like as an individual Christian. But my charge to us tonight is it actually reads more for the community of us. It's a charge to the church on what the church is supposed to look like. And what I think Jesus is actually doing is giving us a picture of what the kingdom of God looks like. He always uses pictures because it's like not something that we've yet experienced in its fullness. So he can't just be like, look, that's the thing. He has to use pictures. So we're going to talk about it like kind of a tug of war match tonight. So there's two arrows. One is going towards the kingdom and one is going towards the culture. Sweet. So I made the claim that Christian culture is countercultural. So there are a lot of different things that we do that normal people don't. So you don't have to put that up there quite yet, but you can if you want. But if we as the church are inclined to be like the culture, we fail most at being Christians when we do it on our own. So like if you talk to any of your friends, if you talk to me and you're like, can you do this whole thing on your own? I would tell you I would like to, but no. Because I can't be, okay, you can put it, oh, it's there. Because this is what Matthew chapter 5 goes into. Jesus is saying, blessed are the blank, for they will have blank. And basically it's blessed are the people who have these characteristics because they're going to inherit the kingdom. Because these are the characteristics of people who love me. So they're poor in spirit, they're meek. He said, blessed are the ones who mourn, the ones who aren't afraid to shy away from vulnerability and like exist in real life. Blessed are the merciful and the peacekeepers. He calls us the salt of the earth because we bring God's flavor out of all creation. And he says we're a light to the world because the world is dark and Jesus isn't. We need each other if we're going to look like and live like what God is calling us to do. And what God wants the kingdom to look like is all that stuff. And as individuals, we lack the knowledge and we lack the ethics that it takes to be faithful disciples. So the church, the community of Christians around us, enables us to be better people than we could have been if we were left to our own devices. Eve, on her own with the serpent, was the one to bring all of sin into the world by herself. She was there standing next to Adam, so like Adam's not totally off the hook. But what we get to do as a community is to make right what one individual made very, very wrong. And we're not supposed to be worried about being better individual Christians. If we're busy focusing on how to bring the kingdom here, we actually start to make the picture of what God wants real. And so we need each other. One of my favorite writers, his name is Stanley Hauerwas, he says this. He says, in living out the story together, togetherness happens, but only as a byproduct of the main project of trying to be faithful to Jesus. So Jesus asks every single one of us to be all of that, to start moving towards the kingdom. And we sit there, and it like feels very daunting. It's like, I don't know how to be a peacekeeper and merciful and poor in spirit and humble. And like, I don't know how to do this all on my own. But there's like people around you who are way better at it than you, who you can learn from. And before I start talking about like what this means for us and what we're supposed to look like, I want you to hear from some of the people who are in your own community. So my friends Emma and Tanya are going to come up, and they're just going to share a little bit about how community has existed in their life and what it's looked like. So welcome them. Okay, Emma, you're first. Great. You were here first. Her name's Emma. Here she goes.
Hi, I'm Emma. Okay, so when Sadie asked me to kind of talk about how community has impacted my life, I started thinking about it, and I started to try and think of, like, one big community that was, like, the most significant to me, that I could, like, point to and say, like, that is the one that, like, made me who I am today. Like, that is the community. And as I was thinking about it, I just, like, came to the realization that that's just not the true story of how community has really, like, influenced my life. And so then I started to think about it, how it really has been. And community really makes me think of specifically God's provision, just throughout my entire life, just God providing over and over again specific communities, just like specific people coming into my life for specific seasons and different seasons and things that are happening to just like carry me through those seasons of life. I can think of, all the way back to middle school when like I was like 11 years old. I specifically remember just coming into this new school terrified. And then just through that out that first year, I just remember a specific awesome group of friends that just fell into place for me. And then community really makes me think of my church growing up. Just this awesome group of believers who, of all ages, all generations, who just really fostered an environment where I could encounter Jesus for the first time. And then I think about the community that I found here. And the well has really been that source for me since coming to college, just all through college. It's through experiences like Eli and Well Leadership, where I've just really come to feel at home here. So I'm just at a place in my life where I can just look back comprehensively at the way community has impacted my life. And for me, it's really just been this steady stream of Jesus-loving people who have just, shown me compassion and loyalty and who have encouraged growth and showed up and sought me out when I needed it. And I think that it, for me, it's been both large groups of kind people and also just like small but, significant friendship circles who've just come alongside me in life. Mostly it really just makes me think of my God and the way that he's just provided what I need right in the moment when I need it. So, thanks.
Tanya.
Hey guys, my name is Tanya. So we were out talking about who was going to give a testimonial. I was like, nope, not me. But then I felt like God just gave me that little nudge, and so, hey, here I am. But I definitely feel like a big thing for me, very similar to Emma, I feel like God has always put community in my life when I've needed it with certain people. And it's always changed, like, just how your life is. Like, when you're in high school, it's different from when you're in college and, like, earlier than that. But it's always been people that I can count on. And I think the biggest thing for me has been reaching out to those people and, like, truly utilizing them as my community. So, like, I love being community for other people. I love sitting down and I love listening to people and, like, helping them and talking through things with them. But I suck at doing it. Like, I love taking all of my stuff and just, like, shoving it. And so, I always feel so good when people feel like they can come and talk to me and, like, give me that opportunity to be community for them. But I feel like just a lot, even just over the last several years, I felt God telling me, hey, like, you need to let these people be there for you, too. Like, let them be your community. And I think that's something that I'm still working on. Because it's hard for me to just spill out my guts. I imagine it's hard for a lot of people. But I definitely think the Lord won't let you go through life without friends. He cares too much about you to do that. And so I would just very much encourage you. You've got people in your life who care so much about you. And I imagine you know who they are, and some of them you might not. There's probably people out there who pray for you every day, who watch over you, who you don't even know about. But I would just highly encourage you to utilize the people that are around you. Let them in, talk to them. Because when you hold something in for a really long time, sometimes it can just fester and get really ugly. And like, sometimes you just need to word vomit it out and it'll feel so good once you do. I know personally after like I finally just get over myself and sit down and talk with one of my friends about something that's been, like, building up. After I get it all out, I'm just like, wow, like, I feel so good right now. And so I would just encourage you guys to do that. Don't bottle things up. That's a bad idea. I would just tell you, let your friends be your friends. Let them be there for you, because that's something that I enjoy doing for other people, and I imagine most of you like being there for your friends because it makes you feel all bubbly inside. So yeah, just let your community be your community.
Thanks, Tanya. Yeah, my story is a lot like Tanya, where I like became a ninja at conversations. So with my friends in college, I would just ask them all about them. And it wasn't like annoyingly like rapid fire questions, but it was like enough of an interest that they like felt really cared for, which was awesome. But it was like conversational ninja because I never, ever, ever let them ask me a question. It like wasn't an option. And so I went throughout college, like actually all of high school and then most of college was this way. And I was like, I would start to have like, I should talk to someone about this. And then I'd be like, well, I guess I can't because they don't know the like 6 years of backstory that come with this. So that would be a little bit messy. And like even last night, my roommate and best friend from college, Jen, she was home and I was home last night strangely early. And so I was just sitting on the couch and she sat down and she goes, do you want to watch, we're watching this show called Kimmy Schmidt. What is it called? The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. It's hilarious and we love it. And she's like, do you want to watch some Kimmy Schmidt? And I was like, yeah, sounds good. And she goes, actually, I think we should talk to each other. I was like, why though? And she's like, so how are you? And she did the thing where she like stared into my soul. And I just like started weeping. And it was a very strange encounter because there was a lot like going on in my life that just felt like it was really building up. And I was like, I'm sorry for crying. And I never really cried. Well, that's not true. This last year of my life, I've just become like a blubbering idiot. So awesome. I love that. But there is something like as I was listening to Emma and Tanya talk, there's something really different about Christian community that sets itself apart from like friendship. I don't know a better word to say there, but there's like a deep trust that comes with it because you trust that like the Holy Spirit is in it too. And so it feels safe. I had this picture a couple months ago that I was like really starting to open up with someone in my life and I didn't know how to do that. And you know when little kids are scared, they'll just like cling to their dad's leg or their mom's leg or an adult's leg that they trust. And it's like, get off of me. I had that picture in my head, but I felt like I was just like clinging so close to the Lord. And he was like trying to kick me off his leg, like, hey, go, it's safe. And I just kept hearing that over and over about this person and actually like a greater community too. Where I was like, no, 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 no. I just want to stay here with you by myself and you and only us and no one else and just you. And he's like, it is safe. And just kept saying like, it's safe. It's safe. And I just kept seeing this like little kid like go play and have fun in relationship with other people. And so I want like, if you're wondering if it's worth it tonight to like open yourself up to people and maybe this is the first time ever, I can't promise you that you won't get your heart broken, but I can promise you that relationships are always better than being alone, because what the enemy wants to do, Jesus is really clear in the Bible about like a couple things. One of them is the enemy. So he goes in this big monologue of like, I'm going to tell you about the enemy. All he does is lie. He wants to kill you. He's a liar. He's the father of all lies. He wants to kill you and destroy you. By the way, he lies a lot and just keeps calling him a liar and evil. And we're like, okay, Jesus, we get it. But that kind of stuff happens to you when you're alone, when you completely isolate yourself from community, because community is supposed to be the people who are telling you who you are. Like, the community around you is going to remind you that your identity is in Christ when you're not sure who you are. And the community around you are going to be the ones to rally to say, like, no, 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 this is who you are. This is what you're good at. This is the God I see in you. And when you're away from that, the enemy just twists things and is like, actually, you're not worthy. You're not enough. You're too much. You're this, you're that, you're the other thing. But what the community does is we all affirm each other's identity in Christ so that we can get busy doing this work. Because the rest of the work looks like this. That's what culture wants us to be. You all know that's true. Do it yourself. Win. Be perfect. Don't ask for help. Don't you dare cry. Definitely get back at that person. Anger's good. It drives you. You know, like, you've heard these stories over and over again in culture. You've seen it in movies. You see it in Hollywood all the time. But, like, and these two things are constantly playing tug of war. If I had screens that were larger, there would be people there just, like, pulling. Except one would, there would only be one on the other side. It would be Jesus. But these are the things we're going against. Are like the temptations to do it all myself and be self-sufficient, and the temptation to stay in the darkness because it's easier to not bring things to light, to stay angry so that we don't have to forgive. Those are the sorts of things that we're warring with. And I want to read to you Matthew chapter 5, but in the Message translation. The Message was written by Eugene Peterson, and it's like an interpretation of the Bible that is like common language, kind of. So this is who we're supposed to be. You, not you personally, you collectively, are blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there's more of God and his rule. You're blessed when you feel you've lost what's most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the one most dear to you. You're blessed when you're content with just who you are, no more, no less. That's the moment you find yourself proud owners of everything that can't be bought. You're blessed when you've worked up a good appetite for God. He's food and drink and the best meal you'll ever eat. You're blessed when you care. At the moment of being careful, you find yourselves cared for. You're blessed when you get... You're blessed when you get your inside world, your mind and heart, put right. Then you can see God in the outside world. You all are blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. That's when you all discover who you really are and your place in God's family. You're blessed when your commitment to God provokes persecution. The persecution drives you even deeper into God's kingdom. And not only that, count yourselves blessed every time people put you down or throw you out or speak lies about you or discredit me. What it means is that the truth is too close for comfort and they're uncomfortable. You can be glad when that happens. Give a cheer even, for though they don't like it, I do. And all heaven applauds. And know that you are in good company. My prophets and witnesses who have come before you have always gotten into this kind of trouble. And so that shows it the best, I think, that we're all actually in this thing together. And once we know that we are all stars, and we see that we're all in this together. I just sang High School Musical to you. There we go. Thank you. Thank you. Break out into song, Juliana. I can't call you my nickname in a microphone. That's recorded. So, like, my plea to you is to take community seriously and to, like, lean into it even though it's uncomfortable. And so we're going to worship together, and I'll pray for us, and we can do that. And then afterward, I'll come up and explain how we're going to do an experiential tonight. But let's pray. God, thank you. Thanks for your goodness and your grace and the person. The person that you are teaching us all to be, God, I pray that you would teach us more about what it looks like to live in community with one another. God, that we would know more about what it's like when the early church had everything in common and shared everything and met the needs of everybody. And God, that when the individualism of the American society wants to be at war with the kingdom of God, we would fight for community, even when it feels easier to be alone. And God, that if those of us in this room feel really lonely, you would surround us with community. You would surround us with people or a person who shows up and fights for us. And Lord, that we would see community as a gift, even when it feels a little bit broken at times, and even when it's clunky because we're humans and we screw it up all the time. Lord, that you would reveal to us that your way is actually better, and that your way is through community. We love you. Amen.